Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How are you doing?
Really good. Really good. What's happening?
Not a whole heck of a lot. What's going on with you guys?
We're ready for the long weekend. We're ready for the home opener, and we're ready for the Flames not to look like they did on Wednesday night.
Geez, I can't believe why all of those things would concern you.
Weird, right?
It was the power play that really sucked the life out of you guys. That was weird. You know, it was really strange to watch how discombobulated you guys were with the man advantage. And once one thing went their way, the kids scored, the whole building went, and they went, and it was definitely not what a lot of us expected.
And it's hard not to, well, we overreacted everything here, but for fans not to overreact just because it looked exactly like it did a year ago, and that's what killed them down the stretch.
You know, I understand that from a fan's perspective, because I thought the exact same thing when I was watching the game, that, you know, there was, that was exactly, like, you know, you sit there and you watch games and you think, okay, what's going through everybody's mind? And I could totally see that for your fan base and your media, that was going to be the exact narrative, that's exactly what people were going to think, like, oh no, this looks like last year. And you know, I thought it was going to be a little bit different, because when Dubé got hit by Gabranson and Hamonic went after him, I was like, okay, like, here's a bit of spirit here and there. And then Hamonic got hurt in that fight, although we did come back. And it just, I understand where you're coming from, Dean. Like, there were a lot of moments in that game that looked like last season. And you know who else went through that last night, Rhett? Was your old team, Buffalo.
I was going to ask.
If you read everything that was coming out of there today, it was like same old, same old. And, ugh, like, they're reacting even worse than you guys did.
Well, I guess I'm not stunned to hear that they were booing the team, but I am a bit surprised after game one. Like, I didn't watch the game. Was it that bad?
You know, I didn't watch a lot of their game last night. I was watching Washington-Pittsburgh, because that was probably the most fun game of the night. But judging from what I heard, it was, I think you can understand, like, if you look at Toronto on their opening night, they weren't very good. You know, 5-on-5, Montreal was the better team. But you got enough excitement, you saw Matthews score, you saw Tavares score, and you saw them win 3-on-3. You at least want something that makes you say, oh, wow, like, this is going to give me something to look forward to this year, even though we may have lost. And I guess they didn't get that in Buffalo last night. And, you know, you guys didn't get that in Vancouver. But I just refuse to believe that your team is going to be like that too often. I just think it's better than that.
Does it ever happen that guys just aren't good on a power play? Because,
well, yeah, you know, the one thing is it was, you know, it was weird last night. I didn't watch Carolina either, but Dougie Hamilton wasn't on their power play.
50 points. Like,
I think he showed up there. I think he might have showed up there at the end. I got to double check this, but at the beginning of the game, he wasn't on it. I don't know what, I mean, he's got a great one-timer. I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, I just think Jeff Ward, who you hired from New Jersey, like, I've known him a long time. He's got a lot of good ideas. He's a really smart guy. I'm sure that in the 2 days off, you guys are working on fixing whatever happened.
As a coach, and I'm talking about Peters here, I think it was last year that McClellan up in Edmonton kind of snapped early on, right? It's too early for that.
It is, that didn't work. And you know what? To be honest, like Gullison tried that last year too. And I remember you and I had that argument about that, Rhett. It's like, you know, people were like, oh, he shouldn't do that. I understood exactly what he was doing. He was trying to light a fire under the team, and I totally got it. It's only one night, you know, you can't overreact But, you know, we've talked about that stat I do where, you know, if you're four out on November 1st, you're in trouble in this league. And, you know, I think, like, James, like, I listened to what James Neal had to say about how, like, the problem is they didn't come up with speed and it screwed up their power play and Vancouver took advantage of that. Well, that says to me that that's a fixable problem. So, you know, if they come tomorrow night and the speed's better and they put the puck in better spots and they put themselves in better spots, then we'll know, hey, they saw a problem and they corrected it and everybody will feel better.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, our NHL insider. Now, you mentioned the Devils and the Oilers, oddly, there. They're playing overseas. Are they are they unhappy? Is there a real level of unhappiness with these two teams? Because Flames go to China, but that's preseason, it's exhibition. Now, you start your season with games that matter over in Finland.
Well, I do know that the league has discussed, you know, I think even Batman brought it up in China, they want to take regular season games there. You know, I understand that it can be a challenge. And I know that there are teams who do not want to be that team that are one of those two that has to go to China to play a regular season game. I do know that is going to be an issue. But, you know, the bigger thing is if you want to grow the game, like you have a choice, okay? You can decide, like, is growing the game important to you? If growing the game is important to you, then that is something you have to do. And, you know, if you saw, you know, Hischier in Switzerland and Dreisaitl in Germany, and I saw some quotes today about, you know, the Klefbom being excited to go to Sweden to play, I got to think that for some people this really means something. But at the end of the day, Dean, look, if you don't care about growing the game and you don't care about growing the cap as part of that, then fine, everybody can stay in North America. But if you really want to grow the game and by therefore grow the amount of money that people are making in it, then you got to go and don't complain about it. So I just say take your position and stick to that position. And if you want to grow the game, that's part of growing the game.
Fans would have to be, because you'd lose a home game, right? What some teams are going to lose home games.
Yeah, but you know how it works, right? Like if you look at tomorrow's game, the one between Jersey and Edmonton, who's the home team?
I don't know.
I'm guessing it's New Jersey.
It is New Jersey. And why do you think that is?
Because their crowds are crap.
Well, their gate is less than Edmonton's would be. Like, if you'll remember, a couple years ago, the Rangers played two outdoor games in 1 year. They played one in, both were at Yankee Stadium, and one was against the Devils, and one was against the Islanders, and they were the road team in both. Now, there's two reasons for that. In New York, I believe the Rangers have something with their lease that says that they cannot be the home team for any game in New York State other than one played in Madison Square Garden. But also, even if they didn't have that there, I'm pretty sure that they would say, okay, which team has the better gate? Because what the league does is they buy you out of your home date, and then they take control. So, or the promoter takes control.
Right.
So, you know, that's how it works. Like, you don't lose a home date unless the league wants you to lose a home date.
Because the rosters are set, obviously the season is going. Aside from the goaltending thing in Toronto, were there any surprises that you saw, players either being waived or sent down?
You know, I have to tell you, the four waiver claims on the first day of the season, that was a new one. I was a bit surprised that Toronto got burned. I thought that they felt that they would sneak one of them through. They gambled and lost there. And I saw that they signed Jeff Glass yesterday, a Calgary boy. So that one did. But four waiver claims on the first day, like, that's a lot. I mean, you know, I was a bit surprised by the reaction to the Wilson suspension. I got to think that people kind of thought that was coming. I was surprised that people were surprised at the number. And he's going to appeal it. And the commissioner hears the appeal, and if they don't like that, they can take it to an independent arbitrator. I think that those are probably the things that surprised me early in the year. One of the things I'm really curious about, and it's directly related to you guys, is Sam Bennett. It looks like his role is not as high in the Flames as he would have hoped he would have had at this point in his career. But I'm not so convinced that they're that interested in giving him away. I think your GM is well aware about the potential, and I think he's got a very long-term vision in the sense that if anyone's calling him about Bennett, I think the price is pretty high.
At the same time, just looking at this roster, where else was he going to go?
Well, he's got to go out and earn it, too. And I'm not saying you have to give up on him, but, boy, he has not done a whole
you
bunch.
Wish, you wish you could send him to the A without waivers. It's what he's needed for a couple years. But if you put him on waivers, you would lose him.
And 100%. Yeah. 100% you're going to lose him.
He just,
it's such a miss for this team right now, because if he panned out, and he's a young kid. He's still got time to be that player. But, boy, you really look at this team and you say Monahan, Bennett, Backlund as your three centermen. That's how it was envisioned, and that's how it's supposed to be playing out. And now, with him not progressing as much as we hope and want, you're left scrambling for it. And there's a whole.
Well, the one thing is, like, I think that those guys, Ryan Zarnik, I do think you guys are a better team. I've said that many times. I just think this whole thing is, I just think it's really interesting. Like I'm watching this right now, and I do agree with you. I think it's clear that maybe both player and team need a change of scenery. But I think you guys are looking at it like this is not necessarily a trade that we want to make, and I completely understand it. I completely get it. I think that's the kind of trade you make with a fear that he figures it out somewhere else, and you don't want to see that happen. So I just find the whole thing. It's not a great situation for anybody, but it's not one I see a really easy answer to, because it's one of those situations where, another team is going to say, well, I'm not going to give you this because he's not playing. And the Flames are saying, well, I'm not taking that because I still think the kid's, 22, 23 years old, and he's got a lot of potential.
Any teams out there that were maybe, I mean, the reason I bring this up is because we made a lot of fun of Vancouver and how terrible they were going to be. And I don't
know. Look what that's like. You know what that's like, Molberg? That's like your, what was that feature you guys used to do? Like the useless player of the night or something?
The sarcastic player profile. We're actually bringing it back this year.
By the way, is back.
Oh, good. You know what? That's really good. Because you know what? That'll be good news for the Flames.
Because, yeah, it was pretty much routine that whoever we exposed went out and had at least a couple points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good night.
I hope you've got a really good sponsor for that one that really makes it worthwhile. Anyway, where were you going there, Red?
I was just going to ask, are there any teams out there that maybe everyone has looked at?
Like said, Montreal opening night?
They had good starts, they're going to work hard, and they might surprise you a little bit.
Well, I think that the thing about Montreal that I thought was really interesting was one of the players was telling me they really did a lot to overhaul their offense. And, they realized they're not the biggest team in the league, so they said we better be able to come down the middle with speed and attack you that way, because if the puck goes along the board, it's going to be hard for us to do stuff. And, the other thing, too, about Montreal is that Toronto first unveiled in the preseason there. The first time Tavares and Matthews played together was a game in Montreal. And in the preseason, the Canadiens played them really well and got killed on the penalty kill. And, I just think that, Montreal and Vancouver, I think it's exactly what you said. People took them for granted. They took that the right way. They played with some structure. They basically came out and said, we're going to compete. I just think over the long haul of a season, Rhett, it's really hard to win that way unless you can score. And I think both of those teams are going to have trouble scoring. And while I'd like for them both to see to prove me wrong, because I like underdogs, I just think it's going to be very difficult for those teams to score consistently to stay in the race.
Oh my goodness! Oh.
He might be going down, Elliot.
No, I took a breath there to say goodbye to you, and then I started choking. Oh,
now this is. You should, I hope you send that to like Sate as a broadcast professional.
Yeah. Yeah, this is how we do it in the real world, kids.
This is how you say goodbye to your guests.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, thank you, Elliot. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. I hope you're okay there.
Thank
Dino.
You.
Take care, guys.
You don't care how I am. But bye.
Bye.